RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
That's right, you are listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, of course, the Pride season is, you can practically feel it in the air, although maybe that's just because the weather is getting that little bit warmer as well. But the two are usually, they usually go hand in hand. And of course, in Dublin City, it is usually the largest Pride festival in Ireland, and preparations are underway already. To find out a bit more about it, I have Jason Flynn, the chairperson of Dublin Pride, on the phone with me at the moment. Jason, you're very welcome along.
Hi, Scott. Thanks a million for having me.
No worries at all. So obviously, this is going to be a fairly exciting time to get everything ready for the fantastically vibrant and colourful festival that is Dublin Pride. There's a few changes that have taken place for this year, though.
Just a few, and you're right, it is a very important, very exciting time. I'm starting to ask myself if I should be worried about the air of calm that's pervading.
The calm before the storm.
Yeah, probably. If you ask me in a month's time, the same question might be a little bit more hectic. But the thing is, we've got a great team working for us at the moment, and one of the things that I was very eager to make sure we did properly is how we go about sourcing people to volunteer their services and to work for the festival. And that goes from members of the board of directors right down throughout the organization, including all of the volunteers who work for us. It's very important that we get the right people for the right positions. And for example, on the board of directors at the moment, we've assembled a really great team selected from places like Board Match, etc., that combines, you know, real business knowledge and commercial knowledge with a cultural sensitivity and an awareness of the community, which I think is really important. So just, you know, to remember what Pride is and where it came from and the role that it plays in the community and the platform that we offer to the community for the issues that are present at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's very important, because this is going to be a very big year in terms of the marriage equality legislation that's coming up, in terms of gender recognition legislation, and in terms of the greater dialogue that we've seen this year around Pantygate and all of that. You know, there have been a lot of issues raised, and Pride really is a platform for all of those issues and for the other groups in the community as well.
Now, of course, you know, that isn't taking away, or hopefully that isn't going to be dissuading anyone or discouraging anyone who might feel that they might not have necessarily business experience in terms of volunteering. We'll get to that at a later point. Obviously,
sure,
anyone who wants to volunteer their time is more than welcome. But I guess the point...
We're always happy to have more volunteers on board.
Of course, and we'll get to that in a second. But I guess the point you're making is that those who are on the board now of Dublin Pride, these are people who are able to give their expertise in whichever aspect it is.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, we have really a responsibility to the community and to the founders of the Pride movement way back when. You know, we have 30 years plus of history that it would be remiss of us to ignore. So it's very important that we maintain ties with those roots and with the people who started the movement. I'm talking about people like Senator David Norris and Tony Walsh and Carl Hayden, Izzy O'Rourke, all of those people. And I would like them to think that they've passed the company down and the movement down to a group of people who are capable and eager and willing to carry on with what they started.
Absolutely. Well, very, very well said. Now, aside from the change internally in terms of the organisation Dublin Pride, this year there's going to be a few different changes as well, one of which is going to be the route.
Yes, unfortunately, as people have probably noticed, half of the city is being dug up at the moment, so that is going to necessitate a change to the usual route that we've
become accustomed to
in recent years. Yeah.
Now, for those people who are listening outside of Dublin or might not know Dublin too well, obviously the Lewis, the main tram in the city, they are currently doing roadworks in the middle of the city to hopefully connect the two lines. So this is the main reason why there's going to be a change in the parade route for this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, eventually the outcome of having a joined up transport system will be great, but unfortunately it provides a bit of inconvenience to us for our purposes. But we're
It's a chance to be creative, if nothing else.
It is a chance to be creative, absolutely. People might have noticed on our Facebook page over the past few days, we've been talking about various possible options, and we're very close to finalising the final route. And we're just very conscious to make sure that people know that, first of all, it was out of our hands. Mm. And, you know, we have done our best to accommodate and take on board as many people's wishes as possible, because I know that there are, you know, it is going to cause disruptions and there are people who won't be entirely happy. Mm. But, you know, it's something that we weren't able to control. To hold an event like Pride, we really need to pull a lot of things together. And the most important thing is having Dublin City Council's permission to stage the event and getting cooperation from the Garda Síochána and other interested parties. And getting them to grant us the permission to have the festival is key. So, you know, it's up to us to make sure that we keep in line with their wishes as well as the wishes of the community.
Yeah.
You know, another option might be to revert to Pride as a protest, because, of course, we're lucky in that we live in a democracy and anybody is entitled to stage a protest at any time they want to. Mm. But, of course, that protest can be closed down at any time for any reason. And were we to do that then and simply have a parade through the streets of Dublin as it was back in the 80s,
yeah,
it would mean, you know, no Merrion Square, no main stage, no fun fair, no bar, you know, none of the things that people really enjoy, none of the things that make Pride fun, mm, as well as combining that political element. I'm always conscious of trying to strike a balance to make sure that Pride fulfills its political function, mm, but as well as giving people a great day out as well. It's a fine line to walk at times, but hopefully we will do our best. And
absolutely.
Fulfill. Well, look, just try to keep as many people happy as possible.
Very, very true. And of course, it is something that I have to, and I'm quite glad, Jason, that you are saying that, because it's something that, you know, we've heard on the show over the last few years. You know, the Cosmos has been on air now for 5 years. So that mm, type of topic kind of comes up again, you know, the balance, you know, not just with Dublin Pride, but, you know, the Pride festivals in general throughout the country, you know, that balance between the political statements that it can make and also just having a bit of a laugh, because thankfully, as you said yourself, we are one of the countries that is a bit more progressive, obviously, than yeah, others around the world. But again, let's get on with the with those who are getting excited for the festival coming up this year. And you were talking about, you know, people who have volunteered their time and their expertise. And for anyone who is interested in maybe giving a few hours of their time to Dublin Pride this year, you are looking for festivals this year. Looking for volunteers this year.
We are indeed. So if people want to go to our website, dublinpride.ie, they'll see a section for volunteers to offer their services, and they could take a look at the specific roles that we're looking for. And if they have a think about what kind of they think they would like to do, where they think they might fit in, what they think they could offer us, we'd be more than happy to sit and meet with anybody who wants to offer their services. Of course, then, a lot of people simply volunteer as a steward on the day,
yeah,
and that's great as well. We always need as many hands on deck as we can get. So that's really great as well, if people want to volunteer as a steward. We do extensive steward training and all of that. But for the other roles, then...
And what type of roles are we talking about here? What are the categories, or are there any?
There's all sorts of things. So, I mean, we have our media and PR team, who we're always looking for bodies for that. We're always looking for graphic designers. The various teams, the various functions that Pride fulfills, like running events and all of that kind of thing, we're always on the lookout for volunteers.
Okay, great.
Those areas. So, you know, basically, if you think you've got anything at all that you can offer us, we'd be delighted to meet you. And I'm always really concerned that people have as good an experience in their time with Dublin Pride as possible, because I think at the moment we're lucky in that there is a lot of goodwill out there towards Dublin Pride. So people are still, you know, they're very much willing to come on board and offer their services. And that's something that I would like to see continue. Whereas if they have a bad experience, then, you know, bad news travels. Mm. So it might dissuade people. So if you do, you know, offer to join our team and come on board, we can ensure that you'll be looked after. We do have a responsibility to our volunteers to make sure that they're safe and happy, and that's something that we take very seriously.
Excellent. All right. And of course, you know, one of the things that probably should be said as well is that this is the second largest festival in Ireland, second only to the St. Patrick's Day Festival. So that's a fantastic reputation to have.
Yeah. It's a good reputation to have, but it's a big responsibility as well. It's a bit of a juggling act at times.
Yeah, of course.
But it's fun, you know. It is fun because people simply wouldn't do it otherwise.
Very, very true. Jason, if people want to find out more, you said that they can go along to dublinpride.ie.
Yeah, and we do a lot of, we communicate a lot via our Facebook page as well. So if people want to like our Facebook page, we update that all the time. We're very active on Twitter as well.
So, and that's at Dublin Pride, isn't it?
Yes, that's excellent. Right, exactly.
All right, cool. Well, listen, look, we'll leave it at that for the moment. No doubt you're going to be back on the show over the next while, keeping us updated with what Dublin Pride is going to be up to in the next few weeks. But in the meantime, Jason Flynn, chairperson of Dublin Pride, thank you very much for coming on to the show.
And thank you very much for having me, Scott.
RTE Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Now, continuing on here with the Cosmo on RTE Pulse, there are only 5 weeks until the upcoming local and European elections taking place on May 23rd. With that in mind, we have only 5 weeks, which means we have five Cosmos left, or five episodes at least of the Cosmo. So we decided to do something called The Pink Vote, a series of interviews with openly LGBT candidates or already representatives in local and European politics to find out what has actually been taking place in terms of progress, both on a local Irish level and indeed a European level in terms of LGBT rights, and how being LGBT actually affects possibly a political career. The first person to be interviewed as part of the Pink Vote is Roderick O'Gorman. He is currently contesting the local elections for the Green Party in the Blanchardstown and Castleknock ward for Fingal County Council. And I started off with asking him how his sexuality would affect his career, I guess, in terms of a political context. And have a listen and see what you think.
No, I don't think so. Ever from when I first ran in 2004, I was, I was out at that stage, and there was no secret about my sexuality. I think it was maybe in the first general election I stood in, the 2007 election, that it became an issue. At that stage, the Green Party were one of the few parties advocating for marriage equality. And I remember once canvassing outside a church, as happens in Irish politics, maybe
of course,
unique in Irish politics, and someone tackling me, let's say, on the issue and the Green Party's stance. And then I remember another door in Blanchardstown, a woman giving out about that particular issue. And I actually said there, well, look, I'm gay myself. And it's an issue that would obviously have major implications for me. Mm. And I just remember at the time, she kind of looked at me and she kind of curled her lip a bit and she says, well, at least you admit it. And it looked at me like, you know, a dog had done something on her doorstep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when I look back on it, that's probably the worst experience I've ever had of, you know, fairly open homophobia or anything like that. And, you know, when you know what's happened to other people in Ireland or around the world, it's not the worst. But I remember thinking of that incident recently, the whole discussion of what is homophobia? Is it, you know, a gay bashing, or is it that maybe
a snide remark?
Yes, snide remarks. And that remark just came back to me at the time. But other than that, it's never really been an issue.
Mm. And I guess if you're only, you know, able to remember one particular event as being one homophobic memory, I guess, you know, does that show that on an overall level that, you know, politics is becoming a bit more gay friendly? Or is it a case of that you might see more homophobia from outside, you know, outside the council or the Dáil more than inside?
I don't know if there ever, I suppose, open homophobia within the Dáil or within councils. Mm. As I say, I don't know how many constituents that I talk to know that I'm gay. It's not something I've ever been, I've ever hidden. I don't plaster it all over my leaflets either. basically because I think, you know, private life is private life. That being said, you know, during the general election campaigns and in the by-election campaign, I always would have highlighted issues like marriage equality as something that I would be seeking to support and promote if I was elected. So I can't say 100% if the lack of bad feedback on the issue is definitely because people are so accepting, or because maybe people just aren't aware of the facts. But you know, I think it's probably reasonably well known at this stage, and I haven't had much negative feedback certainly in recent years.
Well, what would you say, you know, going on that point, what would you say would be any challenges at all, or anything that, you know, say for example, if a gay person listening to, or an LGBT person listening to the interview at the moment, if they wanted to become more active in politics, would there be any challenges that you think they would have to face or have to try and overcome before, you know, progressing in Irish politics?
Well, I suppose the major challenges are probably within parties. Within the Green Party, my sexuality was just simply never an issue at all. I don't know if that is the case in all other parties. I'd like to think it's certainly changing. I think there are prominent out politicians in pretty much all the political parties these days. Now, many of them maybe would have come out subsequently to their involvement and to climbing up within the party. So I don't know if there might be barriers to beginning, let's say, at the grassroots as an out member of a party. But I certainly think the situation is getting better, and the fact that you have now the major political parties with representatives at maybe Dáil or council level who are openly gay, I think is and the fact that they can do that and feel comfortable in doing that within the party is very important.
Roger, let's go back to specifically, you know, instead of talking about kind of, you know, gay politics in general or gay people in politics, let's go back to specifically the Green Party. You know, was the Green Party's stance on LGBT issues, was that in any way part of the reason why you got involved with that party in particular as opposed to any of the others?
It wasn't, to be honest. As I've said before, I was a Green long before I was gay. I've been involved with the, I know that's a bit flippant, but I've been involved with the Green Party since I was about 10 or 11.
Wow, okay.
A long time, just been interested in environmental issues and that. And I went out canvassing with Trevor Sargent in 1992, and I was about 10 or 11 at that stage. So
that puts a whole amazing emphasis on, you know, youth wings of political parties. You were probably the youngest campaigner, were you?
Potentially, yeah. And I don't know how effective I was back then. I was just like a step up from holding his hand at that stage going around. But what I would say about the Green Party is in my youth, and the youth of other members, was never seen as an impediment, and it was open to anyone who wanted to get involved and was prepared to put in work as a canvasser or researching policy. Were always warmly welcomed in the Green Party, and I'd like to think still are today. Now, like, I was been out canvassing all evening, and I've got a relatively new volunteer. He's 16, but he's one of my best canvassers now at the moment. So you know, we were always welcoming, and I'd like to think we continue to be. So no, the reason I didn't join the Green Party over LGBT issues, and I was lucky to find that as I realized I was gay myself, that wasn't something that was not only something that the party didn't have a problem with, but was actively and happy to support issues like marriage equality as a policy, and when we were in government in particular, work on the Civil Partnership Act.
And I guess kind of on that note, and we'll finish on this one, but why should anyone listening to this, and obviously the majority of people that will be listening to this show will be part of the LGBT community, but why should they vote for the Greens in the upcoming elections?
Well, I think, you know, with two elections going on, the European elections and the local elections for the councils, and Eamon Ryan is running in the Dublin area, and Eamon was a cabinet minister. He would have been, and I worked very closely with Eamon on the Civil Partnership Act. He pushed it at a very strong level in cabinet. It wasn't always easy. There wasn't, certainly initially within Fianna Fáil, there was very strong resistance from certain sectors within the cabinet, certain individual ministers. I know Eamon pushed that because it's something that he believed was incredibly important for Ireland, and the Green Group within the European Parliament have always been very strong on LGBT issues. So that, I suppose, covers the European angle. On the council angle, you know, I think you would support a Green candidate, not necessarily for anything specifically that the council or a Green councillor can do in LGBT issues, but just because our councils are important on issues like planning, like making sure we have enough houses in Dublin over the next 5 and 10 years, but enough good quality houses, that we have public transport, that we have, you know, we have a healthy, clean city. And those are the issues, those quality of life issues are the issues that Green councillors would hope to work on if they got elected. So if you want to see Dublin become a healthier city, a cleaner city, and one which is good to live in and is a good, sustainable city, looking at models followed in other European cities, I think that's a good reason to vote for a Green candidate.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, look, we'll leave it there. Anyway, Roderick O'Gorman, you're going to be running in the election or the local elections for the Castleknock Blanchardstown ward for Fingal County Council. Best of luck, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you very soon.
Listen, that's great, Scott. Many thanks.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is RTE Pulse.